Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. You're going to be glad you hung out with us because our good buddy Chuck Cadlick is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Charles W. Cadlick is a managing director of J&W Seligman and Company, which is an outstanding firm that produces mutual funds and makes them available to folks like you and me. He's also the author of Dow 100,000, Fact or Fiction. And he is one of the smartest guys I know, and he's our good friend. Chuck Cadlick, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, I'm delighted to be with you again.
Well, it's good to have you back. You know, Chuck, the last time you were here was September, about the middle of September, and things were not looking too great then, but we didn't know, I think, at that moment, maybe you did, but I didn't know that things were going to get as bad as they've gotten since that day. What do you think?
I did not know they were going to get that bad.
Because if you did, you would have told me, right?
That's right, and I would have told your entire audience, and we'd all be wealthier as a result.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't think there was any. Everyone understood that there were real challenges. What few of anybody anticipated was that the financial system itself would actually freeze.
Would seize up.
Freeze up after the Lehman Brothers went bankrupt. And
What do you think about letting Lehman Brothers go down the tubes?
Well, I think it was the right. At the time, I thought it was the right decision. In that you can't keep bailing out companies who are failing. However, I don't think anyone anticipated that would lead to banks fearful of lending to each other.
Yeah.
And literally freeze up the entire international financial intermediation system. It's not that the banks lost money, it's that they wouldn't lend to each other even overnight. And then that led also directly to the breaking the bucket, the reserve money market fund.
Yep.
And then that caused people to flee money market funds, which are the major provider of liquidity to small business because
right.
They buy commercial paper.
Exactly.
And they buy bank CDs and the like. And so that's what no one anticipated. So where we stand today, there's good and the bad. I mean, I think the market rallied, which is like a people voting it minute by minute on
mm-hmm.
a lot of things. But that coincided with the federal government again was going to step up and keep Bank of America from going broke and from having to break the deal with Merrill, which keeps the financial intermediary system functioning. When the market goes down, it's when it hears about bailouts to industrial companies that are losing money, when it hears about massive spending programs and other ways that will basically squander resources and make us all poor. So it's interesting. It's a very, very difficult mix of challenges and issues right now in the economy and in the financial markets.
Well, do you think that that maybe even though Lehman probably deserved to fail, do you think if they'd propped Lehman up, you think we would be in better shape right now, even though that was a bad precedent set?
You know, this is all Monday morning quarterbacking, and Cameron, I don't know.
They turned around within days and basically nationalized AIG.
That was I think that was. Let me put it this way: it's so complicated that no one really knows.
Yeah.
But what we do know is that Lehman was the trigger. Lehman, I mean, there was a lot of other things that were happening that caused so many banks and the entire financial system to be as fragile as it is. So Lehman was the trigger. If we'd saved Lehman, there may have been, AIG might have been the trigger. And if it wasn't AIG, who knows?
Yeah.
Some moment there may have been a trigger. At the end of the day, I think that the good news is the governments around the world have stepped in to keep the financial intermediation system functioning. Bad news is This has also been used as an excuse to massively increase the government role in our economy, which
exactly
you know,
that's the part that we're that's the part I'm afraid of Chuck.
Yeah,
right
well,
there.
History is pretty clear that it shows that the more government's involved in the day-to-day function of the economy, the poor people are. I mean, I think the evidence there is compelling across time and in the United States as well as across countries at any time in world history.
Well, Chuck, right now I think the average person out there in Main Street is saying, okay, we got some sick organizations. You wanted to give them a whole bunch of our future by borrowing money, basically printing money and giving, you know, $700 billion to these banks. It's been going on now for a few months. Nothing seems to be getting a lot better. When are we going to get our money's worth? I think that's what they're asking. When we come back after these messages, I'm going to get you to address that question.
That's a great 20, question.
20 till, right back with Chuck Cadillac. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out. Hope you use it to your advantage. We built it for you. Lots of stuff there. You can check out my blog while you're there. Check out our knowledge base. Subscribe to my free newsletter. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. Lots and lots of other important things that will help you with your small business. Charles Cadillac is our guest. Chuck is a good friend of ours. He's with Seligman Investments, and he's the author of Dow 100,000 Fact or Fiction. I'm still waiting on that, Chuck. You meant in this century, right?
Yes. I did. No doubt that one of the things I warned about was terrorism. The other was taking our prosperity for granted, and I think we're suffering a little bit from that right now as
well. Well, you know, folks, just so that to put your prophecy in perspective, that's Dow 100,000 is the title of Chuck's book. To put that in perspective, the great John Templeton, Sir John Templeton, predicted Dow 1 million in the 21st century. How about that?
Well, it's, you know, part of it is the difference between arithmetic and geometric. I mean, we had a tenfold increase in the Dow in our own lifetime. We went from 1,000 to 10,000.
Yep.
And so going from 10,000 to 100,000 is actually the same percentage-wise.
Yep.
It just feels like a lot more.
Right, exactly. Back to my question. All the money that's being thrown at all this, the government is acting like it's monopoly money, and we don't know whether it's the right thing to do. We want to believe Paulson. We want to believe Bernanke. We want to believe Jamie Dimon and Ken Lewis. We want to believe those guys. And so all this money's been put out there. All this bailing out has been done. Yeah. All this propping up is being done. But we don't feel any better. In fact, sometimes we feel a little bit worse. That's what Main Street's kind of asking right now. Chuck, yeah. What about that?
I would distinguish two parts of the bailouts. One is for the financial intermediation system, which is critical to everybody. That impacts people who are, you know, running a small business, but if they can't borrow money at their local bank because banks aren't willing to lend each other, that's a real problem for everybody. There's been actually remarkable progress, and the TARP funds have had the desired results. For example, the London Interbank Rate, which froze in after the Lehman thing, the spreads there, overnight rates are back to about normal. They're under 100 basis points again, I believe. The yield spreads between high-yield bonds and treasuries have gone from a ridiculous high of almost 2,000% to about 400 basis points, about 1,500%. So dramatic improvement there. The TED spread, which is another way to measure stress in financial markets, has narrowed dramatically. So there's a lot of evidence that credit markets are normalizing, and that's the first step towards getting the economy back growing again. So that's really important. The other part of the bailout to industrial companies, and not to pick on any one, but GM and Chrysler are probably the most visible here.
Yep.
Look, that's money. That's probably money lost. The fact is, we don't need as many cars as we used to, and there's excess capacity in industry. those companies have made many mistakes. They're also victims of a lot of government regulations. You know,
yeah.
The auto industry is one of the most regulated businesses in the United States. Not surprising, they're having a lot of difficulty.
And they've laid on some serious baggage in the 20th century with their workforce.
They have, and you know the corporate average fuel economy standards, the import restrictions on importing cars that meet those. The government is up to its eyeballs in creating some of those problems. But the fact of the matter is, a bailout is not going to make us richer, and it's not going to. I believe the odds of those companies surviving are limited, because when you're reporting to 400 congressmen and 100 senators, you have to produce politically correct cars and supposedly be viable. The odds of that are just extremely low, no matter how capable the management or the workers in those companies.
It'd be tough for a brand new company without any baggage to accomplish, let alone these companies that are starting out in a hole.
That's right. So that part of the bailout is probably money squandered, and as a country, we're all poorer as a result. I mean, look, what's happening here is the government is capital markets exist. GM and Chrysler could not get people voluntarily to provide them the resources to get through this period. So what they did is they used their government, their political power, to get the government to basically make the American people give them money on an involuntary basis, right? The government just stood in and said, guess what? We're going to take money, we're going to borrow money from you, and we're going to lend it to these companies. So it's an involuntary, and we're on the hook. The government's not on the hook. The American people are on the hook. Government has no resources. It only has what it takes from the American people. And so basically they've substituted where voluntary exchanges didn't work, involuntary exchanges. Typically that makes you poorer, not richer. We'll all suffer that for the consequences of that.
Do you believe that that what's been done so far with the TARP money that's been committed, the $700 billion and maybe more has been committed, do you believe that in time, if we just give it a little more time, that that's actually going to wind up helping out a lot and getting this economy going again?
Well, I believe to the extent it's been used to restart the financial intermediation system, the banks in particular.
Yeah.
Yes, and in fact, I think
how much more time do you think they need?
Well, I think the credit markets normalizing suggests that process is well on its way, and I think you will see, again, with mortgage rates under 5%, you probably see some improvement there, I would think, in the next 3 to 6 months.
So you think a lot of what's wrong right now, sounds to me like you're saying a lot of what's wrong is between our ears, concern.
No, I'm not saying that.
You're not? All right,
so
hold on to that thought.
There's a lot to be concerned about. We'll come back and talk about
Hold on to that thought. I want to ask him about that because I'm concerned about that. It's Intel. I'm Jim Blassingame. Charles Cadillac is our guest. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Chuck Cadillac is our guest. Charles W. Cadillac is the author of Dow 100,000 Factor Fiction. He's also a very important person over at Seligman Investments. Chuck, one of the things that I have not seen in my lifetime, and this is my sixth recession to go through. My first one was 1969. And I'm a lot older than you, so you don't remember that one, I'm sure. But Chuck, I've never seen so much fear in the marketplace as I'm seeing right now. How much of that are we our own worst enemy right now? What do you think?
Well, fear is clearly part of the reason the banks are having trouble intermediating, and clearly there was a lot of fear that Bank of America was not going to get assistance, and the deal with Merrill was going to fall apart, and there'd be counterparty risk. By the way, the fear is grounded. I mean, it's grounded in the fact that there is a lot of bad debts out there.
Sometimes fear is giving you good advice, isn't it?
Yeah, billions of dollars. I mean, there's a German bank, a major German bank, lost 4.8 billion euro in a quarter. I mean, that's an extraordinary amount of money. Mm-hmm. So it's not just in the United States. But I'd like to just say let me talk about a few things that are making things better and why the economy is on its road to healing, as long as the government doesn't get in the way and screw it up. One is that, financial markets have normalized, and they are normalizing, and that in part is due to good government policy, as repugnant as it was. The bailouts of the banks were really an effort to keep the financial intermediation system operating. We're all dependent upon that. Two is the dramatic fall in the price of oil. I mean, gasoline is back under $2
a
gallon. But that's not only putting money in people's pockets, but more importantly, we import energy. So when oil prices fall, it's like a tax, real tax cut for the U.S. economy. And third is that part of this, Jim, is just a pure prolonged inventory cycle in that people who had ready access to credit suddenly decided, you know what, I can't do that anymore. They couldn't get the credit. And as a consequence, a lot of purchases are being deferred. But at some point, someone who might have bought an automobile today will buy one. It may be you're 6 months from now.
You're talking about pent-up demand, aren't you?
Nine months. Well, I'm talking about an inventory cycle. And at some point, people will get through it, and they'll say, okay, you know what, I paid down enough of my debt. I can come up with 10% down on the car. I can come up with maybe $5,000 when I buy the car. Or I can come up with 20% down payment on a now less expensive house because prices have fallen. And all of a sudden, the natural proclivity of human beings to make a better life gets back and engages. The enemy here is, frankly, a government that will become more intrusive in our day-to-day lives and become overbearing in the economy and take a lot of resources from the private sector and squander them well-intentioned projects. These are not bad people. They're well-intentioned, but they're ignoring what cannot be seen. They say, we're going to create these jobs. They don't see they're taking money from other people who, small businesses, particular, who would have otherwise created better jobs.
What I've been saying, Chuck, is that I'm not as worried about the next 12 to 36 months as I am the next 12 to 36 years.
I think there's reason.
Based on what you were just saying, I'm worried that we're gonna become comfortable with the government camel being inside this tent, this marketplace tent.
There is definitely a concern about that. Look, there's a big debate going on here in intellectual circles about the blame with the source of this crisis. There's a lot of effort to blame it on capitalism, discredit capitalism, which means if you need more government. My view is that at the very core of this was two government agencies, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, put $1 trillion up to encourage people to make subprime loans. Without that $1 trillion, a lot of that lending would not have taken place. But you can't blame capitalism for responding to a customer that has $1 trillion.
Right.
And congratulate you for making subprime loans. Now, so this is not a failure of capitalism. This is a failure of state capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the government get in the middle of capital markets and distort them with $1 trillion in well-intentioned social policies, and when it all comes to naught, then we should not be blaming free people at the market. We should be blaming the government's intrusion in the lives of free people.
So you're blaming, you're laying most of the problems at the feet of basically Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and those abuses.
That's at the absolute fulcrum of this crisis.
Yeah, I agree with you. And people warned. And we were warned, weren't we?
We were warned, and we just need to keep it clear that markets responded. So you can blame capitalism in the sense that markets responded to that government policy, because that's what we do. That's what markets do.
Mm-hmm.
When you put $1 trillion up, I guarantee you markets will respond.
However, I agree with you.
It's a failure of state capitalism, not capitalism.
Not pure capitalism.
We need less state in our less government in our markets, not more.
Chuck, I gotta wrap it up. Well done, well said. Thank you so much for being here. Good job today.
Hey, great being with you.
Chuck Cadlick, ladies and gentlemen. I gotta go for this hour. I'll see you next time.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.